And we continue with a battle.
Yeah.
That's about what we're going to do. We have the second half of this kicks off with pretty much Mr. Terrific and the rest of these aliens fighting the Krill. And it just goes on. And in the middle of it, the Krill, they leave. They bail. And everybody thinks, well, the other aliens think that they have won the day. But Mr. Terrific knows better. That's why he's
because
Mr.
everything
Terrific.
Goes back to terrible slaver history. I'm
yeah, it
this
does
issue,
go to slaver history.
It's like we got a bunch of issues. I want to tackle this issue, so this is going to be all about freaking, you know, like not like transgender and slavery problem.
Yeah,
like slave
that's pretty
wrongs,
much what it
know?
Is. Now, the thing that doesn't make sense to me is they were kind of there in their ship. The way that they tie it into the slavery is almost like if they were the slavers, if they were going to be taken over, they would rather kill the slaves. Or if they,
yeah.
This seems a little bit overreach here because they're not really, a couple of these guys broke out and stuff and there was a bit of a riot or whatever. I don't think that's what really happened at that point. Like I said, it was one of those to me as if they were attacked almost like a, you know, going down with the ship and they
right.
treated them like property and then they'd go. This is without
Look,
even
if
fighting
I can't
back.
Play with my toys, nobody will.
Yeah, but this isn't that because the toys are the things that are fighting. And it just makes it seem over the top and, you know, kind of a convoluted explanation of all of this. And what happens, they realize, Mr. Terrific realizes then the Krill have bailed, but they're going to blow up the ship
yeah.
that they're on. So they end up figuring out that there's this one cell that's been locked. And Mr. Terrific's like,
even though that they opened up all of the cells on the ship
yeah.
and like all the prisoners out, there's one cell door that would not open. And the
yeah.
Krill seem to be afraid of even opening it because of what it might mean.
Yes.
So obviously they open that door because they're out of options at this point. The Krill are going to blow up the ship. And inside there, we find an alien girl named Pylothea.
Yeah. Who doesn't really
Pylothea.
Seem like in this form or whatever was dangerous, even though she says that, or Mr. Terrific thinks that she must have been to the Krill, but even the Krill are just kind of waiting for her to kind of evolve, almost
yeah,
like a Pokemon.
It's such a weird thing because either like the way this Pylothea's people are, like, you know, males of their species, they can, like, you know, send out energy, and females,
yeah.
they can absorb it. And this girl was like actually given to the Krill because she didn't have a gender. So at this point in time, she did like, you know, expel and absorb, you know, but
yeah.
she just thinks of herself as an abomination. So she really doesn't even try to do either until she's pushed.
Yeah, and even that
and
is not even well spelled
by Mr.
out.
Terrific.
Yeah,
I'm telling
not
you,
it just keeps
said
going on and on.
Over and over yep. again.
Oh, it's terrible. This whole thing. And I'm telling you, the first half, you could tell we were not very excited about this book. I think it gets worse. As this goes on, it just gets worse and worse. But yes, it's Mr. Terrific just over the top. Over and over again saying, listen, you don't have to choose between being male and female, just do this. And she does. And when the Krill fire, of course the firing absorbs the energy, but still it just kind of absorbs right into her chest. Then she expels it back.
Absorbing the thing is one thing. Like, if I got shot by something and I absorb it, like, why does the Krill's entire ship's energy blast that is used to freaking
I guess
blow
when
up
they
the
say absorb,
ship,
it also attracts it as well.
I guess,
it
I'm
doesn't
saying,
make sense.
Because this is a very, like, we're going to shoot right here. Thank God Pylothea was standing right where the beam
yeah.
was, and she was able to absorb it and send
yeah,
it back
Yeah, and then
to
she
him.
Sends it back and destroys him. Again, this is in that weird ninth dimension. It's just nonsense. And then from there, they end up, yes, the Krill are dead. They're deciding, and the big guy, Udron and Pylothea, they all decide, the other aliens decide that they're going to go and fight the Krills, you know, the Krill throughout the universe and try to right the wrongs. Mr. Trivik's like, I'm going to go back home.
Roger,
there's
that,
a little,
I'm out
yeah,
back
there's
to
a little
the
bit,
sanctuary.
There's even a little bit of, like, you know, religion thrown in that these aliens are like, you know, hey, for the record, the seven gods believe in you and they do not like blasphemers. So they're almost hitting like, yeah, you know what, Michael, you're saying you don't believe. You kind of do deep down. You know, these guys like you and they wouldn't like you if not. And I also think that's kind of their idea of saying you're lucky.
He inspired this young girl to freaking, you know, see that she can be unique and be herself. She doesn't have to think of herself as an abomination. Saved all these different alien races. They're still going to throw their goddamn religion at Michael. Like, you know what, man? You know, we appreciate everything you've done, but you going to hell, kid, if you don't accept the seven guys.
That's what it seems like. And then he does go back. He, you know, he goes through a portal, goes back, and then we have this whole thing with the stuff going on at Holt Industries and the fact that it looks like, you know, you have Donald calling that piece of crap Stephen Wex. Yeah. He calls him up and says, listen, Stephen, I hope you're having a good time and whatever, but tomorrow it looks like Michael is going to name his successor. And that's been a big thing going on. But then it ends, the issue ends with next, a special Valentine's Day interlude, or whose stupid idea was it to celebrate these lousy days in the first place? And I agree, because we go off and now we are setting something up that never happened. So I don't care how many times that they talk about this, and you had looked into it, and Eric Wallace had said this was a setup. You know what? We are now on what would be issue 6. Whatever he was setting up, I hate to say it, was going to suck anyway, because this, every issue.
He was setting up almost like a Legion of Doom for Mr. Terrific, led by Dalton, who we saw in the first issue, who was going to be known as the Red Dragon.
And we'll never get to that, number one, but we've now gone through 5 issues of this, and they're not good. This is an awful series up until this point. This trade stinks.
I want to say the art's at least good, but it's kind of mediocre.
It's over the and it's back and forth. At some point, it looks good.
Everything you need out of the art for what it's like it's trying to convey, but it's not over the. It's not great.
No, and it's just, it's not very good. And it starts off, you have this whole scene with this, you know, what is his name?
The Tomorrow Thief.
The Tomorrow Thief. He is fighting Mr. Terrific in the, at this point, it's somewhere really cold. It ends up being like in Iceland outside of Reykjavik. And they're fighting. And it's not even that interesting. It really isn't. And that while they're fighting, you could see that this, you know, guy can kind of phase through things. And we learn a little about him. We don't learn that much because, again, this was just seeding something for later.
Yeah.
But then we go back to Holt Industries 24 hours earlier. And we do get an important thing in the book where Michael is there and he's going to name his successor.
And that's the thing. It's not even important for where the book goes ultimately.
It would have been. And,
you
want to
say it's important for the series, but because the series never went anywhere and we never got back to Holt Industries.
But I'd rather have seen this. I'm telling you.
Successor is doesn't mean anything.
If he knew that he was not going to continue, they would have never had this fucking goddamn, what's his name again?
Tomorrow Thief?
Yeah, the Tomorrow Thief. I keep wanting to call him the Time Thief. The Tomorrow Thief. You get rid of this goddamn issue with him, which means nothing, and deal more with Jamal, who is actually the Jamal guy who's Mason. Taking over. You might have something better. Well, Jamal is actually, it's like the secret of my success. It's Michael J. Fox. He's working in the mailroom. He's got a high IQ. He even tells us it's 192. That's goddamn ridiculous. But that's who Michael Holt. He is. He's waiting for the mail, and they think that he's waiting for a package or a delivery, and instead he actually names Jamal the successor. And I'm sure it was going to be one of those, listen, he knows that Jamal is smart, but also Jamal is not corrupted. He is a guy working from the bottom up. He knows how it is.
He knows
how it is to work all the way down in the mailroom and how it was in Secret of My Success. Yeah. What Michael J. Fox knew, he knew everybody's deals because he was giving them the mail and stuff like that. But, you know, you go from there. You have this Donald who has been set up to be this awful guy, you know, all the time. And it goes where he's with Alika and he's making his passes again. It's Valentine's Day and she's just like,
that private little dinner meeting with Alika to try to talk about what we're going to do about Michael's decision and shit like that. And it just comes off creepy. And Alika's like, you know what? I'm
she
out.
Gets
I can't
do and then she even
nonsense.
Says, I'm going to put this on the company.
Personally, that she's like, oh, she's spurning my come on. Who does she think she is?
I guess he, you know, I don't know what he thinks. He's just crazy. And she's like, oh, good thing I'm not interested in you romantically, so I can write this off as a company, you know, business deal and whatever. But she goes off.
I'm telling you, Donald's been bad, but it's like this weird bad on the surface that we don't even really get to see. And, like, they just make him slimier and slimier as the issue comes to, like, you know, as the series comes to a close, we have to see that he's a little bit bad for how we end the series overall.
Yep. Well, then we go off to the freaking crazy trans Reykjavik, Iceland, whatever this is, bullet train that's actually working on a KRC, the kinetic rail capacitor.
The kinetic rail capacitor, Jim.
Oh, my goodness gracious. And they're there. It's even listed. You see it there, KRC.
I'm telling you, for whatever reason, it's just because it's probably because it's a goddamn train. It reminds me of the Trans-Pacific Railway.
That's what it reminds me of.
Iceland in my mind. And I'm like, here we go.
Yep, and it's there, and they're trying to work on this thing, and that's where the Tomorrow Thief shows up. He's just walking on the side of the train. It looks pretty badass. He looks okay. But he goes, he wants the KRC, grabs it, disappears, goes out, actually throws Mr. Terrific out the like, phases him through,
and
throws him
we
out
see
the
that
window.
Tomorrow Thief has the ability to ghost people and himself. He can phase objects and himself through matter and shit like that. And that's how the Tomorrow Thief works. And as we find out,
it's
he's not a great fighter, but he's never had to be because he has this ability.
Yeah, and through that, he has the KRC, now you're supposed to care. And that's where you have Mr. Terrific, and how the writing is, it's just not good. And Mr. Terrific gets thrown up, he comes out.
It might come off sounding terrible, is that I think this character would have been better if he wasn't French, because the fact that he is a French villain, they keep throwing these French words and phrases out there.
No, I didn't care. He's a joke anyway.
I'm
telling you. Doesn't matter anyway. He's a joke. He's terrible. This dialogue, Mr. Terrific falls, and I'm saying just Mr. Terrific. He gets out of the ice, and he's like, feels like a hot poker jabbed me in my side still. Only someone with my physical conditioning and the knowledge of what it takes to survive a fall from that height would be alive in the first place.
And right there, like, why? Not only that, but the way he talks about like his strategy and what he's going to do, and even what Tomorrow Thief is going to do to him like atomically and shit like that. It's because the character's main deal is that he is one of the smartest people in the DC universe, is that you have to write him over the top to the point where it's not fun to read his books, and it's terrible.
No, it's not, because then he even goes and he gets a T-sphere out. He's like, hey, time to change my other work clothes. Excellent. The metamaterials woven in my clothing work perfectly, which means I now have access to my T-suit 24/7. Yeah, you should have known that a long time ago. It's a really weird shoved-in thing just to tell us that at any point, no matter what, even if he's thrown out of a bullet train over Reykjavik or heading towards Reykjavik, he'll still be able to turn into Mr. Terrific. In the meantime, you have the Tomorrow Thief grab up the KRC, put it in his duffel bag, says sayonara. Now he flies. We don't know any, and he has a jetpack kind of thing. It's nonsense. You don't know anything about this guy. He's terrible. And that's basically, he's doing this. It looks like he's just going to hand this in to make some money. And then him and Mr. Terrific just fight.
Bring it back to Dalton, who would become the Red Dragon of the series.
But he was going to pay him a ton of money. He says, you're getting between me and a quite a lot of money, and they're there fighting, and then it just goes on and on and on and on and on, and then ends up underneath in a cave that has a lava pool.
Explanation about why he had this whole lava. Molecular chemistry 101, monsieur. Hydrogen and ionic bonds are easily broken up by high pressure or extreme temperatures. A volcanic lake able to thrive at sub-zero of an environment like this definitely has both, which makes it almost impossible to control at a molecular level. I'm like, you're not fun, Mr. Terrific. What are you doing?
And that's molecular chemistry 101, he said. So, and you go, and he just throws him into this pool, and then he goes out, and he's freezing to death, and basically he remembers his training in the Center for Altitude, Space, and Extreme Environment Medicine, located in London, England, he says, and knows that what he should do is go into the water, freeze his ass up, flash freeze himself, and then come out and lay and hope that he's found.
And then
it's
hope
a ditch,
that they
last ditch
and
effort.
Save him with science.
Yeah, it's the last
do.
Ditch
he,
effort.
He made a gamble, but he always gambles when science is on the line.
Yeah, and even I know it's so bad when they're there in the Conscientia Institute, Iceland's medical facility observation unit, and he's there and he's like, it worked, didn't it? Triggering her in a hibernation state until Conscientia team could find me. It was my only option. I don't know about that, Mr. Terrific. You're nonsense. It's really nonsense. And the lady's there, and they're talking, and she's like, you flash froze yourself in sub-zero waters, Michael, then crawl back onto the ice in hopes we'd find you. I'm like, thanks for spelling it out once again, which we didn't really know, but it's like, show us. Don't explain it like this.
And this whole thing,
you know,
being
what?
The Valentine's Day issue, besides for that creepy moment we had with Alika and Blake earlier, or Donald earlier, now we have this really forced thing when he goes to Iceland, he meets this woman who's in charge of the monorail and stuff like that, and we have to have this really forced deal where they used to, like, they had one night together. Michael's like out here, like, I'm going to try to pick up where I left off because things aren't working with Karen Starr right now.
But and even then, she's like, work. Well, I guess you with Karen Starr, that didn't work out either. You know, and then at the end, he's just like, you know what? Guess what? What? Happy Valentine's Day. Oh, goodness gracious. Just please stop. But then we go off and we go kind of into another weird deal where all of a sudden in the middle of the port of Los Angeles, I mean, I'm telling you, these issues at the point too, what gets me is at the end of each issue, you have the next and then you have a description. Not even in this would be issue 7. Still right. Don't think that he realized when this was written that it was going to be ending, because now there is a weird thing in this, but it's just at the end, it's like, next, this is going to happen. Never like, see what happens or the finish or whatever. And every issue in the second half is so disjointed and off the it's nothing. It's just nonsense. But out of nowhere in the port of Los Angeles, a ship materializes and it rips into the dock. I'm like, where the hell did that ship come from? And then I'm reading, and the one guy,
yeah, man.
That's
like
what one
that
guy
Spielberg
says.
Movie.
Yeah, that Spielberg movie. Some World War II bombers are gonna.
Ocean. There's no way this came from the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah, so he's just saying shit, and they're like, hey man. And the one guy goes, I'm gonna go and check out the hold. I'm telling you, the other guy's right. You just get away. What? You don't know what's in there. Man, it just appeared out of thin air. There could be aliens or something. Guys, like, only one way to find out. They try to get, and they're repelled back. And then they go from that. Now it's not
that
aliens or
haunted,
tech.
Jim.
Yeah, that ship is haunted, which they say later, too. And they just are going. And now we're all in line at the Red's Hot Dogs in West Hollywood, where there's all these people standing, and this paramedic is there talking to know. This would be the most annoying guy in any line, because he's just talking to his goddamn self. Hey, man, I'm an L.A. paramedic. I've learned that people are pretty self-destructive. And then Michael's there. Really? And they're like
Michael,
talking.
It's Mr. Terrific in
well,
line
it's
for
Mr.
a hot
Terrific.
Dog.
Yeah, he's in line with for a hot dog, but he's like telling Mr. Terrific that these people, he's like, yeah, you don't understand. These people show up in L.A., they think they can pull this shit. I'm thinking that they're talking about Jackass at this point. Like, they see these people doing stunts and stuff. Next thing you know, they think they're going to have a Kardashian. This isn't the Real Housewives of Orange County.
Oh,
like, really?
Christ,
really?
God,
this is what
dog. We're, leave me
yeah,
alone.
This is what we're going at, and you're getting these people in line with the hot dog. This guy just keeps going on and on, and then a car comes flying by. Look, another high-speed chase. That's so 90s. And you see this kid who looks like he should get out more. Not in very good shape, Eric.
Not
he
at
looks
all.
Like
I
a roly-poly.
I don't know what's up with this whole body.
I don't know. I have no
like
idea.
It's because he's trying to swagger across the street.
Is he a
or
dwarf?
Or he's just this weird midget
tell.
With disproportionate fucking body, but he looks so weird.
The actual, like, bodies and faces in this issue are way off, and that's where Mr. Terrific sees that this kid's gonna get hit by the car. He goes and saves him, tells him, hey, listen, number one, and he's like, what's your name? DeAndre. Number one, you don't jaywalk. Number two, take out your headphones, stop listening to your Kanye West. And yeah, it's just nonsense. Then out of nowhere,
just wrong turn walking across the street, gotta ruin
just
headphones
go,
for everyone. Now headphones are banned, Jim.
Yeah, really, that's why. And then he gets the T-spheres, he takes down this car, they get this guy who really is nothing. And then you have what appears to be Chef Boyardee.
It's
like Chef Boyardee, though. Look at this guy.
Chef Boyardee about it.
Yeah, he looks like Chef Boyardee, another dwarf. I mean, his bottom half is so disproportional. And then you have that fucking freak-ass kid in the back giving the finger, it looks like, to somebody. Though it looks like maybe they're waving, but they're not really looking at Mr. Terrific. So I assume they're all giving the finger, and Chef Boyardee is there with his big ass. And then they're like, hey, he's like, it's funny because he's Mr. Terrific at this point. He's like, no, you know, let's keep small businesses in business, shall we? He's like, I know how much hot dogs I eat, motherfucker. You're going to lose your shirt on that.
I'm just saying, if somebody ever offered me free hot dogs, I'm not saying let's keep small businesses in play. I'm like, okay, thank you, sir. Yeah. I would love free hot dogs.
Well, there's where Chef Boyardee then says, are you sure? Yep, that's what I call fair play. Ba-zoom! I wish he had he shot a gun when he's so stupid. But why have that scene? Why have this scene? The only reason I guess is because we know that this is the second to last issue we're talking about here. And I'm like, you're really dealing with them at Red's Hot Dogs? It's goddamn, you know, stupid. But now we go back to Holt Industries, and he did say Alika was supposed to be showing Jamal kind of the ropes. So she kind of is. They're going through this. And
Jamal's
then you just
first
have.
Day is a terrible one because somebody has broken in and freaking, you know, not tampered, but they've gone in the Holt Industries servers and are trying to figure out who the person was who created the break.
Yeah, and then you're going to have a lot of times in this issue, especially with things going on, that they're setting up stuff that'll never happen. You have Jamal, he's there, he gets a message from his dad, he doesn't answer it.
And that's the thing, when I was reading this whole thing, I'm just looking at this whole thing where it's a panel about his dad called, like, you know, and Link is like, look, we have to put all our priority in this, we can't do a phone call. He's like, no problem, it wasn't anybody important anyway. I'm like, yeah, your poor dad, we're never going to see him.
Yep, we're never going to see him. And you know what, this is the problem, though. Someone accessed the sin. And they're not sure where the sin, the central sin. Integration nexus. And that's where, like, oh my God, it's a breach. It's a, you know, an information breach. They got to find out what's going on. They go inside the sin, which is CIN. Obviously, I just said the central integration nexus. It's all the setup of, you know, what's going on and if they had any data loss and things like that. But as this is going on, you have Donald. He's getting sick. Eric, he doesn't feel good.
Well,
he's wondering what's going on.
This whole thing where it's like, you know, how are we going to find out who this person was? And the one guy's all like, the CIN tags any intruder with hostile markers the moment a breach is made. Tracking them should lead us directly to the infiltrator. Donald, you still with us?
And that's not even just the thing, though, because he starts getting dizzy and he starts getting text starts forming on him. So at this point, but he's fucked up.
This is the craziest goddamn thing, though.
Out of nowhere. It's out of nowhere.
We have this whole thing where it seems that freaking Karen Starr also did this as well. So it really goes between the point where I had no idea. Like the first time I read this, I don't even know how I'm trying to say this, because Donald obviously was like the guy who broke into the freaking system. Karen Starr later does it when she reveals herself as Power Girl.
Yeah, she kind of walks through and grabs
stuff. I just want to know, because I couldn't find the correlation where you get tagged by this freaking computer, and somehow you turn into a digital
monster.
It's
weird. I didn't even know, because it seemed like, I don't know if that was also something that the Steven kind of knew and did to him. We're never going to find out. Because I know he's like,
they say, you know, you're tagged with hostile markers. And the reason I think
didn't
that Donald
happen
was
to
kind
Karen.
Of blaming Steven is because he put him up to it.
Yeah, he did. I just
reason,
think that he knew this was going to happen.
Transforming him into a digital mechanical monster. Digitus.
Yeah, he's going to turn into what would be, you know, I'm surprised hasn't been a cyborg guy, even though in this it just ends.
About.
Yeah, so then you have Mr. Terrific. He shows up down at the port. See, while this is going on, he is neglecting his job again. And as Mr. Terrific, he goes down to the port and says, listen, I'm going to get into this boat, even though you guys couldn't before. I'm going to go in. I'm going to see what's going on, look for my signal if I need help, whatever. And he goes in and sees that there is a bomb. There's a huge bomb that's, you know, luckily it's set for an hour and a half later. It's like, what? Yeah, an hour and a half. He's like, God, luckily I have the 90 minutes to fix this. So he starts fixing it, and then he realizes, like, huh, what's weird is I think there's other people here. I feel like I'm being watched, so I'm going to check out the different things. And it's almost like it
different
seems
spectrum.
Like they are going to show you some of his abilities that he has with the T-Sphere technology. He looks into first uses a higher
light.
Wavelengths, ultraviolet. Then he uses X-ray, which is actually pretty cool the way they did that. And then he's like, I'll boost my vision to reveal gamma wavelengths. And when he does, you see he's surrounded by what ends up being the Blackhawks and ends up, you know, oh no, these are the Russians.
Yeah,
the Blackhawks actually come in next.
These
are just Russian terrorists. And he just starts fighting them. And the best thing about it is it just goes on and on. And you can realize that he ends up fighting them for an hour and a half, because by the time he's done, the bomb's almost exploded.
He fights them for an hour and a half. He's just one man in a room full of armed Russian soldiers who are firing nonstop.
Yep.
Somehow he fights him for
somehow
an hour
he fights
and a half
it. While
wins.
This is going on, Donald is driving away. He's on the 405 freeway. He's trying to get, you know, out of there and get somewhere, and he realizes that's where he's like the G.I. Joe doll that I had as a kid. Or not G.I. Joe, the $6 million man doll as a kid.
Because that skin
ended
came
up,
off.
Yeah, you can pull the skin back, and he had the bionics, and that's what he has. And so that's It's stupid, but it reminded me. I wanted to go up to Donald.
Why did you do this?
Didn't care. I wanted to go up behind Donald and look through his bionic eye. That's all I wanted. And if you know what that toy is, you'll laugh because that was one, one of the best toys ever. It really was. And I'm telling you, if you go and you try to buy it nowadays, if you actually would have known and kept that in pristine condition, because number one, the bionic piece would come out. You'd lose that. But you know the worst part is the skin. The skin would either, as if you have it now and used it a lot, it either came off or it got very loose and doesn't work. If you would have kept that intact, you'd be, you know, a slightly richer man. I don't think it'd be that much money, but I think it's pretty cool. But yeah, pretty much Mr. Terrific. While this is going on, Mr. Terrific is just fighting and then realizes that the signal that they have combined with this T-strap, I'm not even going to even try to say, my new friends are wearing suits that emit gamma frequencies to create their transparent state, initiating an inverse Compton scattering wave pulse along a post-gamma frequency should counteract that effect.
Should.
Yeah, really? Oh, really? The only thing I understand in that is Compton, and I want to listen to Straight Out of Compton.
That's what I was thinking the entire time you said Compton.
Yeah, that's a if you have, to me, anything that's inverse Compton, I think inverse Compton would be Liberace. Could be inverse Compton. I don't know. It's just really so it makes a huge light and you actually see the one guy out there, the detective or whatever. Oh, that signal, because he did say watch for the signal. They're going with that. And then, like we said, in the meantime, you have everybody attacking and there were these terrorists that were invisible outside. That kind of showed them.
And now it reveals them as well.
It reveals them. There's a big firefight going on. And now you have, like, the National Guard. Everybody's showing up. Everybody's going to show up. And in the meantime, Mr. Terrific figures out, even before that, he figured out, oh, these guys, what they wanted was to get me, the LAPD, everybody, every police force, anybody who's going to stop these terrorists in this vicinity to get blown up. And it's going down. And I'm telling you, he ends up fighting them off with 42 seconds left. He's still fighting. And then at the last second, he actually disables it with 2 seconds left. And the one detective comes in and says, hey, have you ever disarmed a nuclear bomb before? And he's like, not yet, but I have now. That's why you're a superhero. I wish he would have said, no, actually, it's the inverse Compton effect of the Fluffendorf on the Kraken dough.
Why does he have to seem cool in front of the detective, but not us? Freaking dumb for me, goddammit.
Goddammit, it's just over the top. That's where we see, while this is going on, you do see Karen Starr going through in super speed and taking out pretty much the multiversal boom tube technology, the quantum tunneling deal that, you know, and this is something, it's weird too, because when they try to figure this out, they don't want to have Karen Starr be awful. So they even say, like, oh, she stole something that really couldn't be used for anything. You know, they really try to skirt this issue with not making her be bad like Donald. And
that whole thing, if you I don't even think it was out yet, but when World's Finest came out, you saw that, you know, Karen Starr, freaking Helena Wayne, they were trying to freaking get this all this information from Michael Holt so they could build a quantum tunnel to get back to Earth, too. So it actually kind of works out if you read
it. It does work
titles.
Out. But yeah, it's just, I think that they really spell out, though, when he does figure it out, and it's not, I don't think it's the sin that even tags her. He ends up, Mr. Holt uses some crazy nonsense and ends up figuring that out then when he kind of gets a hologram of her and is like, Karen Starr, why was she doing that?
Well, that's the thing. At one point when I was reading this, it really thought like we were going to almost like a flashback, and it turned out that Karen Starr was the one who activated the CIN. And so when I first read it, I'm like, why the fuck is Donald turning into a monster out of nowhere? Then when I reread it, I realized, oh, okay, this is the CIM. But then we also have her freaking breaching security as well.
Yeah, and at this point, you do have Lika. She has decided that she's leaving. She's going to end up going. She's moving to D.C.
She's done of all this sexual harassment and this freaking kid.
Yeah, sexual harassment from Donald and no harassment from Mr. Terrific. Michael Holt, she's in love with.
She can't even get
up to the plate, let alone first base. And then Donald's all over. It's like the worst of both worlds that she's getting.
Kids are getting promoted over.
Yeah, kids are getting promoted and she wants to get out. She's going to leave. But then, you know, you have Donald banging on the door. Now, he's freaking out. He's turning into a machine at this point. He has gone. And this is the problem. This is why I say one of the reasons why you don't harass women. Because if you turn into a mechanical beast then afterwards and you only have that person to help you, they're not going to help, Eric. That's no. the problem with it. Because she goes, she don't want any parts of him. I'm telling you.
It's not even seems like he needs help. It's almost like, all right, now I'm a monster and I'm going to go to this girl who spurned me.
I don't know. I think that he's having problems as well, but he does say, he says it's all her fault. And really, in his mind, the mind of an asshole, it is true because the only reason he went to Steven was because he wanted to get that power so that she, you remember the one thing, he wanted the prize to be Alika, and he's like, I can't do that. But power is seductive. Well, while this is going on, you do have Michael Holt doing that. You know, Mr. Terrific is using that Michael Holt hologram that we thought was pretty cool before. Yeah. And that's why he knows what's going on. And he's like, you know, get away. She's like, Donald, oh, my God, this guy comes in. I don't even know it's Donald anymore. And he says, this is all your fault. You should have been nicer to me.
It's funny to me, too, because you know how Michael has these freaking hologram deals. In my mind, he just installed one in Alika's closet just in case. And there he is. It's this Michael Holt hologram. And hey, look. Donald's at the door. Don't answer. Shit's gone wrong.
Yeah. And he has gone wrong. But again,
why are you a hologram in my closet, Michael? God damn it.
Yeah, there's that. It's the hologram cuckold that they were setting up. But Donald, he doesn't look. So I just like the idea that Donald was there. He got infected by this thing. But now there's freaking cabling coming out. You know, it looks like his forehead could connect to a printer.
That's the end of the issue. When you get to the last issue of the thing and you really get into it, he breaks into Holt Industries. He is now a giant holding freaking Alika in his hand. I'm like, how does this work?
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. But yeah, we go off and what would be the last issue, this issue number 8 that ends. Now, it's weird because obviously at this point they know, Eric Wallace knows his thing is coming down. It's leaving. So he must have had all these plans. And one of the big things were Mr. Terrific's origin with the Blackhawks. It's like their relationship. He really wants us to know this. I guess this is something that he worked on. It was probably, obviously, it was going to lead to something more. I don't think it was going to end up being a flashback like this. I get that this would have even been the zero issue where we had this relationship working, because it starts off and you have the Blackhawks there, because at this point it's Digitus and Mr. Terrific going at it. But as they're going on, the Blackhawks get called in. And it's funny, I'll give Eric Wallace one bit of credit in a fucking trade that I will not give much credit to overall, is that he kind of tricked me, because all of a sudden they come up and this guy Lincoln from the Blackhawks comes up and they start talking about like a past relationship and start talking about, oh man, you've been against me since this, Lincoln, and all this. And I'm like, when the fuck did we see this?
I'm like,
what's going on? Like, I actually thought, like, dude, I missed an issue. And then they go back. They do go back to a flashback to show you that, where again, it is kind of put in weird. You could have just had Lincoln show up and then you have Mr. Terrific. Lincoln, I didn't think I'd see your face here again. And then you go to the flashback. It would have made a little more sense, but you do have it. But it is funny, too, where you have Digitus and they do go into Holt Industries and he has like all of the AI he can recontrol to attack Mr. Terrific. And I thought to myself, Mr. Terrific, you are the smartest man, third smartest man in the deal, and your security is strapping guns to the roof. It doesn't even look that fancy, right? It just looks like guns are strapped in, because they even make it seem like they're supposed to come out of the holes aren't big enough. So it's just, I could just imagine
a normal day
we clock into work and we walk down and every day we have to look up and see these guns pointed at us, hoping they don't go off.
Having like an Ed 209 from RoboCop chilling there all the time.
It's crazy, just having guns come out of the ceiling, and I could just see them the first day. They like, you know, that's how you fuck with the new guy. You oh no. They've taken the guns over and they have like blanks going.
And it's funny.
Everybody thinks guys shits their pants.
Guns, I just imagine the little rods that are attached to the guns that go up to the holes. They just pivot up and down, and that's it.
Just,
the guns
like,
just pivoting up and down.
And that's what you have. Just actual hand. These aren't even like the laser guns that you would usually have in a turret in a roof. These actually have handles and triggers. These are laser rifles that are connected. This seems like something out of like 1968 James Bond or something. And even then it would be better. I'm like, what are you doing here, Mr. Terrific? You gotta go to work more often. Because yeah, they're being controlled and they're shooting them. Mr. Terrific's getting his shit kicked out of him, and that's when they call in the Blackhawks. You have Lincoln show up, and there's, you know, he's not gonna get away this time. And I'm like, who is that?
This whole thing is, you know, whatever Mr. Terrific has, we're gonna freaking take him down and take his technology, because it can't be.
Yeah, that's been the whole thing.
One person, he's going against the government then, and we need to collect everything.
Lincoln
he
does not. He does not trust Mr. Terrific or the T-Spheres. And it's funny when you get to the point when they're like, Mr. Terrific is no Superman, he's a rogue operative, and this time he won't get away. I'm like, you tell him Billy Bob Thornton with those goggles on, because he looks exactly like him. Like, what is going on here? But yeah, and then you have the woman who, Athena Tavares, who has been through this whole series, actually becomes pretty important in this issue. But again,
it's
you
funny,
have to remember
this background reporter who was just reporting the entire time, she becomes the linchpin of this entire series.
Yes, she
in the
does.
End here.
Yes, she does, because you have this attack, and really the whole thing with Digitus has to get pushed aside, because that's not what's important to lead to what we all know is going to happen, is Mr. Terrific's going to go off to Earth too. So what happens? The T-Spheres kind of get turned against Mr. Terrific, but he figures out, okay, this is Donald. He's jealous of me. He's mad about, you know, Holt Industries, whatever. So he uses what he says is jealousy and his rage, gets him in the middle, and the Sin, C-I-N, then ends up going and turning against him and bringing him down. But in the meantime, you also have to know that Mr. Terrific has a knack for COBOL, the programming language, which my buddy Pete was very fond of at one point.
Really?
The Common Business Oriented Language. Again, this is way past any time that anybody would have cared about this. And it's only, like you said, the problem is, this is why I don't mind where we're getting Mr. Terrific now in the comics, and his series is going to come up soon. I don't know how that, or actually, yeah, I don't know how he's going to be in that. But with Metal and all that, I do like that he's more of an action star in those so far than like this.
Well, the one thing is, like, he really, like, you know, I love the idea of having a Mr. Terrific book when I first saw it was a thing, until I looked at it and realized, you know, I hate the new look for Michael Holt, but the idea where him as a solo hero does not work, because we have to have the narration with him thinking.
Yeah.
He's not going to dumb it down for himself. If he's with a group of people like the Terrifics or like Gotham Resistance, he is going to dumb it down. It's going to help us so goddamn much when reading
it. Yeah. It's crazy, but yeah. And they're there, and it's Billy Bob Thornton Lincoln going against Mr. Terrific, and it just keeps going back and forth. It's basically like, you know what? I knew that you were bad. No, I'm not. Yes, you were. And then we kind of go back to see a summation of the series so far. You know, the whole thing of him finding his wife, then his son. And it's funny, too, because as it's going on, I'm like, oh, here we go. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot all about
Aaron Holt.
I forgot all about him. But yeah, he was the one who came back.
This world.
Yep. He came back and told him, you know, keep going, keep doing it. And then you have a little thing with the Justice League there, and like, okay, here we go. And that's what they show you, this thing that happened with the Blackhawks and Lincoln and Mr. Terrific, where they were attacked and he came in to save the day. And the Lincoln and the Blackhawks, they thought that this was nonsense, that these T-Spheres were something that should be looked at. The UN now has sanctions to bring that in.
He used his knowledge of infinite fractal mechanics to stop the runaway war machine that him and the friggin', you know, Blackhawks were fighting.
I'm trying to get the hell out of this. So. But yeah, as they're fighting too, Mr. Terrific punches Lincoln in the face because he has the T-Sphere, and, you know, almost like he won't give it back. So he punches him, and it's funny because when we get to the Blackhawks book, we'll see if these guys are in. But it looks like Captain Boomerang is there with him at one point. It made me giggle.
This
is the problem. We've had the Blackhawks a bit in these new 52 books. We've obviously had them in the Rebirth, and especially Metal and things like that, and Scott Snyder's All-Star Batman. And each time I see them, I want to know less about them. I don't care about them, and we're going to have that. That's coming up, you know, sometime soon, I guess. But
soonish.
Soonish indeed. But yeah, I really don't care about them. But what happens is Athena steps in at Miss Tavares and says, like, hey, you know, Mr. Trivik, he's a hero. You're going to do what to him? That's bullshit. You know, if you're going to end up taking him down, you're going to have to do it in front of the whole world. Keep that camera running, buddy. And in this meantime, it's funny because they're trying, the Blackhawks are trying to get him, and he can't be filmed. So I don't know what Miss Tavares thinks that she's going to see. There's also this little thing that I think that eventually they might have started dating. It seemed like that was going to happen. There is an attraction between them. And Mr. Terrific keeps kind of saying, you know, he keeps fucking up with his relationships.
Oh,
unless
yeah.
He would
keeps going from woman to woman. So why
unless,
not her?
Unless he was going to patch it up with Alika, who really, she's off. She says to him at the, you know, I'm heading to D.C. I don't stay at companies that long, and this one's fucked up. I mean, right away, I'm at a company. I'm like, usually I only stay a little, and you know, this one kind of turned a guy into a raging fucking, you know, computer beast, and you got this.
Why was that ever a thing? We got guns dangling from the ceiling, computers.
Guns hanging from the ceiling. You don't need that. Yeah, I do not want, I don't want to actually have to, I forget and have to come back and pick up my cell phone, and then.
There's a hologram in my closet?
Yeah, in my closet. Yeah, it's crazy, but yeah,
you all do. All the stuff with the friggin' reporting going on, and all the people rallying behind Mr. Terrific, it actually makes the brass up top friggin' radio in the leg and say, look, we got to stand
off.
Down. You just got to let Mr. Terrific go now.
Yep, and it's almost like you have this thing, because that's when Mr. Terrific says to Tavares, hey, I owe you one. She's like, Los Angeles owes you a million times over. Call us even. And, you know, you're like, okay, that sets
no,
up.
No, I'm not going to do that. You owe me a lot more.
It's funny. She's like, call us even. And he thinks that she meant call him even. And then all of a sudden his hologram shows up in her in her closet, Eric.
Yeah,
it'd be funny. The hologram gets shot. The hologram gets gets arrested for peeping. But yeah. And then
Michael's
in the background,
hologram spent next 5 years in prison.
Yeah. Then in the background, you have Lincoln from the Blackhawks, and he's there with his arms crossed, almost like giving like the, this isn't over, Holt, or, you know, Mr. Terrific. He doesn't know what it is.
You won this time.
Yeah, he's like, you won this time.
We'll meet again.
Yeah, we'll meet again. No, you won't.
We won't.
No, you won't. You're gone. Because, yeah, then that's where, as Holt, you know, himself, he goes back to his, you know, the Holt Industries. That's where Alika comes and says, listen, I'm bailing. I'm getting out of here. She kissed him like almost like, this is what you were missing, buddy.
Yeah.
And then plants a kiss on him. He's like, you know what? I may be one of the smartest men in the world, but right now I feel like the dumbest and the goddamn horniest. Get on back here, ladies. But yeah, he lets her go. He goes off to the tea sanctuary. He's trying to figure out. And now we are really rushing to the end.
Seriously.
Because like, huh? I wonder who that other breach was. Oh, looks like Karen Starr, but I don't know why she'd be interested in that. All the, it's funny, too, because to me, what he's really saying is, huh, why would she want the quantum tunneling experiments? She ain't that smart.
Yeah.
That's basically what I thought. Like, huh, Karen took that? Well, it doesn't really matter. She ain't going to figure that shit out.
I love the one thing, too. It's like, Karen started this. I'm going to make sure she can never walk into Holt Industries again.
Yeah, and makes it seem like it's going to be an embarrassment to him. But, yeah, I actually got the idea that he didn't care because he thought that she was too much of a dummy to know what she was doing. And that's where all of a sudden he opens up a quantum rift there, and it starts fucking tearing him apart. And it is so quick where he's just like, he's doing this. He's trying to figure out what she was stealing. Oh, the quantum tunnel. Oh, da, 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 da. Boom. It opens up and then starts ripping him apart in a subatomic fucking level. And he, oh, no. And he's like, I have a feeling this is going to be one hell of a ride. Like, what are you talking about?
And he goes, I can't wait to find out what's on the other side.
Huh. I wonder what's going to go. But I love this Earth, too. But no, he ends up getting sucked in, and he has the whole thing. If this is the end, then what better way to go? I'm leaving the world behind him with it for every unanswered question.
And
telling you, this is that Eric Wallace.
Too, because Earth 2 is going to be under attack real soon.
Oh, yeah, and this is Eric Wallace. He's just pissed, and he's like, you know what? I'm leaving this world behind him with every unanswered question, every complex mystery, every unfulfilled notion, because that's what endings are all about, answers to the biggest question of all. I can't wait to find out. And then it does say the adventure continues in Earth 2, Issue 2, and that would have come out, it says, June 6th. So it's going through, and I did make a mistake earlier. For some reason, reason, I keep getting in my head that these every wave of book was starting in a September, like you have, because we did have
like
a bunch of those.
Start with issue zero.
Yes, that's what I kept thinking. Earth 2 was not one of those. It did start, obviously, in May. Because this will be the issue 2 in June. And so it did start right away. It was one of those books. And it kind of does make sense how you got into it. And then we knew. Because once the zero year, like we were really, we knew a lot about things. Even though you were only reading one or two books, whatever. But yeah, it didn't come out in that September. Because I said earlier in this episode that I was like, I don't know if they knew or why would they go to the second issue. It's because of that.
I jumped on Earth 2 that August then. That July or August when I first started reading it.
Yeah, so it makes total sense. They got rid of him. They had him show up in Earth 2 where he continued on. But that's it. That's the end of
this
trade.
And I'm telling you, I don't know if like we'll ever see it, but one thing I would like if we get into the Terrifics book after Metal's done and shit like that, is an explanation about like, you know, what happened at the end of Earth 2 society and like, you know, how he got back to
Earth
0.
Yeah, that would be nice. It's weird too because they kind of just glossed over it in Metal, so I'm don't know if we're ever going to find out.
They glossed over completely. But I'd say that's one thing I'd like. Because, like, you know, Earth 2 was recreated at the end of Earth 2 society. And it was such a weird thing that I never fully understood. I wanted to know more about the world, but the series is over. And we have not dealt with Earth 2, like, again, besides for, like, Mr. Terrific talking about, oh, go hop back to Earth 2 and check out some frequencies.
Yeah. It's like,
man,
I'm going
to
check some things. So we'll see. But this book, it's just not good. I go with you. And reading this, I would not say that Mr. Terrific can't have a solo book. I can't say that. But if you're going to do it, this really fell into that trope of, like we say, of a cyborg book where you don't have to just keep doing the same thing. Mr. Terrific can fight and do things that isn't something where he has to explain everything. Because I think to me why I love Mr. – and he'll be in the Terrifics as well. But when I like – why I like Mr. Terrific is he's the third smartest guy, but in the meantime he can still deal with people and he's still, like I said, an action star and things like that. So it's pretty cool. But what would you give this whole trade as a whole?
This whole trade, I'm sorry to say, I would probably give this a 4 out of 10 because it's just not good. It's an extended trade, so it's a long read, but it's a long read of boring garbage that, like, they overexplain the scientific shit, which you kind of you half expect because it is Mr. Terrific, but you don't want it.
Yeah,
because it just bogs you down and actually just makes the story less appealing.
Yeah. What did you give it? I didn't even hear you say. I was yelling at my kids.
Yeah.
I hear them screaming downstairs. I had to mute the mic so I could scream at them. I have the same score as you. 4 out of 10. It's just not good. It really isn't good. It's, you know, pretty much one of the first ones.
I saw Mr. Terrific on the freaking wall at the comic book shop when I was, you know, still buying comics every goddamn week. And I'm glad I didn't pick it up because while I love Mr. Terrific, the look of him alone actually threw me off to the point where I'm like, I don't want to deal with this new look. I missed the jacket with Fair Play down the sides. I don't need the tattoos. But like, if I had spent my money on this, I just would have been disappointed.
Oh, I'm telling you, this is where I'll say this is crazy to say. Reads better in trade, I think, Eric, and it's still a 4. I can't even imagine getting individual issues of this.
Oh, God.
There are issues that, and we review all the, so if we were a site and a podcast at that point, we would have been doing this. I cannot imagine just sitting there and reading through a single issue of this and just trying to give it a score, because there's some, I think at the best, you may have, like that last issue, I may have gone a 5.5. Maybe. You know what I mean? Issue 8. But around issue 3 and 4, you might have been down in the 2.5s. That's how bad it is.
When Tomorrow Thief showed up for that whole Valentine's Day issue, I'm like, God
that might have been a 2.5. And, you know, we don't even get – so everybody who's like, oh, man, Rebirth is starting to be stagnant or whatever, just be glad you don't have shit like this, really. And
seriously,
if anything, it reminds me of the Cyborg book, only because it's like this one-trick pony where they really want to shove it down your throat. So hopefully the Terrifics is better, and then maybe eventually – now, I still want the Batman and the Outsiders book and stuff like that. Maybe we can get books like that, like, you know, because I don't think that DC – because of this New 52 and because of books like this one, I don't think they're going to take these chances anymore like they did at the beginning of the New 52 where they took a bunch of chances. And so that's why I think we don't get these other books now and stuff like that. And it's a shame.
They might take chances, but the chances they'll take right now are six issue minis.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And even then, I don't think that, you know, it's a chance, but I don't see any of these being like you have a six-issue mini of, you know, Mr. Terrific, and if people really love it, it'll turn into a full series, but it does, but yeah, you do get the mini series. It's just, this is nonsense. It's complete, utter nonsense, but that's it. But I do want to tell you that the next episode, Eric, we're actually going to be talking about something that I loved, one of the first books that
something
I ever picked up. Yep. So yeah, and one of the first books that I ever got, and I'll probably tell this story again, but it is Frankenstein, Age in a Shade, Volume 1, War of Monsters. And it was one of those that when me and Eric first heard about the New 52, and we heard it late, you had heard about it, but then me and you started talking about it. So I went online, and I think that what we were doing is I was reading off all of the books that were out, and you were telling me, like, you know, I'd go through and like Static Shock, and you're like, oh man, Static Shock's pretty cool, I don't know if it's good, like we didn't know anything about him, going by title
at this point yet.
And then it came Frankenstein, Agent of Shade, and then I would just say it randomly, we'd be working and probably every 2 days I'd just go, Eric, Frankenstein, Agent of Shade, and I kept saying it, and somehow it worked on me, because that was one of the first, that and Aquaman were one of the first books I picked up, and I will tell you, at the point of what this volume one was, I liked it better, the same as Aquaman, which was one of the big hits, but I love Frankenstein, Agent of Shade, and told you, you gotta get it, you gotta, you know, grab on, and you did, and you liked it as well. The problem was, is after this volume, it really got involved in some crazy shit. It got involved in the Rot World story and stuff like that. But this one, but why I'm saying this is I'm really wondering if it's going to hold up. Yeah, but it's Jeff Lemire.
It was just like, you know, a bunch of monsters and a freaking sci-fi environment. And it was just like the idea of it was fun. And you had Ray Palmer in there just run, like, you know, as the control spec, like the specialist for freaking Shade and shit like that. And you had Father Time in the body of a little girl.
Oh, it's so good. It's so much fun. And it is Jeff Lemire. And this one of my favorite writers, and Alberto Ponticelli was the artist. And I like the art as well. But yeah, if you had read the Rebirth Superman when Frankenstein and his bride were in it, I think that you would enjoy this, because this actually shows you a lot of the background of what they were fighting about between themselves and things like
now
that.
What happened to Frankenstein, Agent of Shade back in the movie too.
Yeah, so I think that you would enjoy that. But yeah, I am going to tell you right now that we are on Patreon. We do have a Patreon account. One of the caveats is that you can go to listen to the next episode ahead of time. Now, if you are a member of the Patreon, that does not mean when you hear this early that you can go back in time and hear something even more early. That is for when you hear this, there's that little thing of going on of two things. I had this issue, I think it was with Simon, where Simon was listening. He's like, when I got to the end, it said I could listen to the next one right now. It's not the case if you're already on Patreon, but if you want to get these earlier when you listen to them in the general feed, then you can go and support us, and there's a chance at this point that you can actually get a month earlier. We have to see how this is going on, so check it out, but you will get early access to the next episode, and that's one of the caveats of one of the lower levels of the Patreon, so we hope that you go over and at least check that out. But we are done with this, Eric Shea. Thank goodness.
Seriously.
I'm glad. I'll even give people a little, because a lot of people keep talking to me and like, hey, what's coming up next and whatever. And this is, I will give you a little peek at some of the ones coming up. After Frankenstein, Agent of Shade Volume 1, we have Static Shock Volume 1, Supercharged, which is the full series. That got canceled. Then we have Legion of Superheroes Volume 1, Hostile World, Eric. And
which
that's
is a
one,
continuation of pre-Flashpoint.
Yes, we'll discuss it when it goes. It's a continuation. It did not reboot for the New 52, but it rebooted because they hadn't been able to get a hold of Superman. So it's a really weird deal. Then, Eric, just so people know, then we start kicking it in, my friend, because then we have Batman and Robin Volume 1, Suicide Squad Volume 1, Demon Knights Volume 1, Batgirl Volume 1, Batwing Volume 1, and then Men of War.
Men of War.
I went a little too far. I went a little too far, Eric. But no, we have a lot coming up. So yeah, hopefully you guys enjoy this. And like I said, if you want to get a little advanced preview, or not preview, advanced episode, so you can listen ahead of time and get ahead of the game, you can go over to Patreon at patreon.com/weirdscience and support us. But that's it. Eric, what do we say at the end of this?
Sadly, we say that's the new 52, and now we're through.